ultimately, we're all dead men. Sadly, we cannot choose how, but we can decide how we meet that end. In order that we are remembered as men.
Well, here we are again, boys and girls, episode 38 of Sean Hammer. Today we're going to go over Killzones with the creator of the Killzone project, and that would be Big Jim. And we're going to have an interview with that. And then, but first I'm going to go over the new White Dwarf 369. It's going to be quick. It's going to be ugly. Here we go. Been doing nothing much except for painting throughout the week, so let me get that out of the way. Playing some more HeroClix. Yes, I'm guilty. So here we go. White Dwarf 369. White lion on the cover. And high elves, some big white lettering. This tells me that this is going to be a big gay fest. Open it up. Oh yeah, there it is. New high elf releases. White lions. Some Phoenix Guards, Dragon Princes, which will probably be Blood Knights coming up pretty soon. Classic Lothar and Seaguard, a Prince Authorian, whatever, and the High Elf Battle Magic cards. I don't know how I feel about Games Workshop releasing the Battle Magic cards. I think that they should probably, in my opinion, if they don't plan on redoing a army book for a race for anytime soon, I think that they should tailor the magic so that way the army cards are more relevant to have, and maybe give you that signature spell for each army race that's out there, you know, with the whole thing that's that 8th edition does. It's a new Warhammer, Lord of the Rings, War of the Ring models. For the Black Library, we have a Sabbat Worlds coming out that you heard about with my interview with Dan Amnett. Also, a the Blood Pack and a Sifis Kane novel, which I cannot wait, and a release, a re-release of Dan Amnett's Double Eagle. Fantasy Flights released their Space Hawk Death Angel game. I think I went over that last episode. We got a whole bunch of High Elf Gay Lovin'. Let's color and paint the High Elves. Look at my big High Elf army. Here's all the pictures of the whole thing. The Battle for the Island of Blood. With some more pictures of High Elves and some Skaven. More pictures about how blah, blah, blah. I'm not going through the battle report. I'm sick of High Elves. Then we got the War of the Ring. We have War in Misty Mountains. Yeah, not going to really. I couldn't go on to that. We have some thoughts about cavalry, monsters, mounts, and such. Monsters for Warhammer. We have, of course, Jervis Johnson Standard Bearer, which I did not take the time to read. And I didn't really care this month. we have the step-by-step how to paint the Prince Authorian, whatever you want to put it, but the on-foot version, not the one on the Griffin. It shows the Island of Blood box set, what's in it. Goes through a couple fantasy armies, and it's got the whole Sabbat Worlds campaign, a little piece of fluff, because of the Sabbat Worlds book coming out, and it shows you this great Sabbat Crusade that's available in the old Sabbat Crusade thing. But no one can get it. goes over the word bearer. So that's surprising enough. We're still riding the Chaos Pony Show. Then goes on the Chaos Train and Planet Strike. This is pretty cool. It shows you how to defile all of your Imperial statues and such like that. And that's basically it for the White Dwarf. And on the end, the biggest bonus of the thing is a whole Dark Eldar preview. And it's not even a preview, it's artwork with a Pray They Don't Take You Alive. So hopefully next month we get some better pictures of some Dark Eldar. And remember, I already stated that I'm a Xenos defecting whore. And we'll take a break and listen for a message from Cool City Games, and we'll get to the interview with Big Jim.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
With me, I have Big Jim from the Killzone Project, as I've been calling it on my site. You find him at thegalaxyandflamesblogspot.com. Hello, Big Jim.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
It's going better now, actually.
Very cool.
So, I have a friend that's on that's contacted me through my site, and he's got his own podcast now, AJ Through the Imperial Truth.
Yeah, I was on his last episode, episode 2.
Yep, I actually caught that. And he's been going freaking crazy about just Killzone. I brought up Space Hawk. He said, don't play Space Hawk, just play Killzone in the corridor.
Yeah, he is quite committed.
Yeah.
He's been great to have on the team helping me work on the rules.
No, he's been a really fun guy to talk to and everything. And
he's hilarious.
Yeah, definitely been enjoying my time talking with him and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you created this bad boy. Let's get into the first thing. Why?
Okay. Well, I wanted something. I've been working on a fan codex for my Chaos Space Marines, and I've been playing solid 40K constantly 3 or 4 times a week for a year. And I just wanted something different, something on a smaller scale. You know, so I thought, okay, well, the Battle Missions book came out, brought back Killzone. I remember playing Killzone when it came out in 4th edition. I enjoyed it. And then I tried the Battle Mission one, and it just wasn't what I was looking for.
It sucked.
Yeah. And, you know, having to buy whole squads and, it just wasn't very dynamic. So what I did was I was thinking, okay, well, I really liked the 4th edition version when it came out because it was unique and something different when GW released it. And then I started looking at it with the goon squads and was like, oh, who wants to play a goon squad all the time? So I thought, okay, well, I've been playing Warhammer 40,000 since Rogue Trader way back in 87 is when I started.
Wow.
So I thought, well, you know, let's give the whole game a jolt. You know, let's combine both the best of both versions of kill teams, and let's throw in a little bit of Necromunda-esque second edition 40K spice to it. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Definitely. I've played Necromunda in the past, and I've enjoyed it quite a bit. I had the female gang for a while. I called them the Iron Butterflies. And then I went to the Redemptionists because, I love fire. That's all there is to it. And going through this kill zone, it definitely does remind me exactly what Necromunda should be in the evolution of 40K.
Right. It's like an updated, streamlined version. I'll be releasing the campaign system in the next couple of weeks. Okay. Hopefully, I'll have it ready for Sunday.
Yeah.
But it may not be. I've got to go over some proofreading and get it to the guys, and, you know, we've got to work out a few details. But my main drive is I am a very casual gamer, not a big tournament guy. I like story-driven play. The group of guys that I normally game with, unfortunately right now we're down to 3 of us because the other 4 are all deployed. They're all in the military. So they're all out of country, different countries in the world. But we run campaigns, so we've had this one campaign running off and on for 3 years.
Okay.
You know, so we pay, you know, when guys leave, we put it on hold, and then we pick back up when everybody's back together. So I really enjoy the story aspect of gaming. Warhammer 40,000 100,000 universe galaxy is huge. And, you know, why not make our own little niche in there, you know, and make our own story within the story, as it were. So what I had initially done Killzone for was completely casual, you know, themed gaming, you know, everybody just has a good time and it's oozing with flavor. But, you know, the more I posted up on the blog about the rules, the more people wanted to play in more of a competitive setting, you know, like have a Killzone tournament day, you know, one day tournament and things like that. So unlike the founders of the Rules Games Workshop, I wasn't going to take and ignore a cry for a tighter system. So what I've got out now in the beta is basically the basic rules that you can go if you want to run a Killzone tournament. Once they're done, these will be the Killzone tournament rules. We're going to have an entire PDF full of advanced rules that are just dripping with story-driven play, you know, things, you know. So we may add back, you know, some other rules from Necromunda that I didn't bring in here, you know. And the advanced rules are made for the going to be made for the campaign setting. So as your team becomes more unique, you know, where you instead of having just, you know, at the beginning, you know, a leader and then some grunties, by the time you're done, you're going to have a really cool leader and a whole bunch of individual, you know, mini characters, you know. And so we're working on that. But I wasn't going to take the desire that everybody had to play in a, you know, kind of competitive setting and, you know, ignore it. You know, there was no way I was going to do that. So the basic Killzone that's out now is the stripped-down version.
Okay.
Now, because I've got probably a dozen house rules that we're going through with the rules committee right now, you know, banging back ideas, you know, I'm taking feedback, and, you know, I really wrote the rules, and the guys have just helped me massage them out and make them, you know, playable and balanced.
Okay. You know? Yeah, I downloaded everything you had on your blogs, Bob. Then, I actually had it spiral bound, had it printed out, nice color and spiral bound and stuff because I love books. I made your little beta version a book for me to hold.
Very cool. Very cool.
And it's yeah, you can tell that a lot of work so far has gone into it, and knowing that there's more beyond this, this is great actually. Like I said, I played Necromunda and I enjoy immensely the game of the casual play where you can have fun and build up your characters. And when someone dies, you know, it's a big thing to you. It's kind of like
It matters.
Yeah, it's like a little 28 millimeter child that just died. You know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that really leans to the story driven play, and that's what I love about this. And then we got the. Through BS Moves from the Gentleman's One blog, he got Killzone into Adepticon.
Excellent.
So there will be 3 Killzone events at the 2011 Adepticon. I believe it's 2 on Friday and then a big main event on Sunday.
Yep, I plan on being at Adepticon this year if finances make way for it. And this is one of the things I plan on actually showing up to as well.
Yeah, yeah, me as well. As long as I can get it financially set, I will be doing it. In fact, I will probably be doing some commission work to try to help pay for the trip.
I got you. My wife hit me on that, too. She goes, well, why don't you paint and make up some of the money that you're spending on these hobbies? And I can paint okay. I'm a slacker.
Yeah, you know, I've been there. I've had those times.
Now, you mentioned this Sunday. What do you got coming up?
Well, this Sunday is the 10th day of the 10th month of the 10th year of the 2000 era. So it's a day that only happens once every century. So what we're going to do is we're going to run a Killzone day. It is going to be Killzone day. Everybody is I'm asking everybody to email me any links to any blog posts or website posts or forum posts they do about Killzone, and every 2 hours I'll be updating the Galaxy in Flames blog to links to where everybody's doing their kill zone action. So what we want to do is kind of a blitz of the internet. You know, let everybody know kill zone is here. Let everybody know kill zone is going to be at Adepticon. Show the cool games that we've been having, you know. Show the cool miniatures you're converting, you know. If you have ideas for themed teams, you know, share your thoughts. You know, all these kinds of things, you know, can and will hopefully take place on Sunday.
Excellent. I know at midnight is when I got my first Killzone game. And cool. I believe I have the local hobby store for about 3 hours because I want to keep it on the 10th itself. And with the bombardment of this freaking game, Magic the Gathering, it's hard to get a decent miniature game in. I was just like, oh my god, pre-release and release and Friday Night Magic, what the hell?
No doubt.
So actually what's kind of nice is I have my old kill team that I was running from 4th edition for the White Dwarf supplements.
Right.
And I have them as the Gaunt's Ghosts. I bought that box and painted them up beautifully because I love
the stories
that Dan Abnett have done. And I'm deep down regretful that he killed one of my favorite characters, but I'll let him live this year. So nice. I'm bringing them back, and that's all there is to it. And already painted, already beautified. I have the title header of this show, I have a picture of them I want to do up. I'll see if I can't get something cool up there so everyone can see. But I have been working on, unfortunately, my other theme team, as it would be. And it's I don't know which way to go about it because I want to run nothing but Sanguinary Guard.
Okay.
And I don't know how to do that because when you look at your themes, which we'll get to in a minute.
You actually can't run a Sanguinary Guard list.
Damn it!
Sorry, dude. Yeah,
I know.
The themes are kind of restrictive. You can do either or, and unfortunately, they're all wearing the Artificer armor, which really, really bones them.
Yeah, what I'll probably do is just use them as Death from Above and call them regular space. Blood Angels.
Sure, or run them as Vanguards.
Yeah, because they're beautiful. It's the first Space Marine box I bought outside the Space Wolf box, and I used to for a while there. I thought the Space Wolf box was the greatest box you could ever buy. But yeah, so let's go ahead and let's hash out some of the things that people can look forward to if they want to play a game of Killzone. What's the first thing that they have to do?
Well, the first thing they have to do is download the rules from. It's on the left-hand sidebar of the Galaxy in Flames blog. You know, it's galaxyinflames@blogspot.com. It's under my introduction to myself, little picture of my avatar. It's under the category of flaming downloads. They need to download the Killzone rules. It's a small PDF, the Killzone errata PDF, and the Killzone scenarios PDF. And that's where that's the basic. You gotta have those to play Killzone, obviously. And then when building a list, we have list building criteria and in the main rules, and if I remember correctly, they're repeated in the errata. And each codex has its own errata.
Yep.
So certain things are in, certain things are out. You know, it's just an easy way to figure out what you need to do to build a list.
Okay, now I'm going through, I got team structure. It says each team has a 175 to 250 point limit. What do you think is the happy medium for beginning kill team point start off?
200, probably.
200, okay.
Yeah.
I do love these small games. I love Combat Patrol. I liked the square base. Had the small little lunch hammer thing. I forgot what it's called. Warbands. And there was,
right.
And I enjoy the small games. It makes you feel like you're getting more out of your models, and you can definitely tailor everything.
Oh, most definitely. Small games also give you the opportunity to model some crazy conversions.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and that's one of the things I'm really enjoying is, you know, I'm a converting monster, so I already do that. So taking models and making individual conversions is even cooler.
Yeah, I'm big for in fantasy, especially in the war bands. We had a campaign going on, and every time a unit killed something, like, you know, and they didn't come back throughout the campaign rules and everything, I would model trophies, so to speak, from the units that they killed paint them up in the same colors that my opponents had theirs.
It's kind of awesome.
My whole intimidation. I was playing Dark Elves. What do you expect?
Very, very cool. So, yeah, the Erratus, the plan is to, every time a codex comes out, within the first month or so, update the Errata. So, you know, like Dark Eldar in November. By mid-December at the latest, we should have the new Dark Eldar Errata added to the current PDF. So we'll just, you know, update the PDF and let everybody know that we did it. You know, so what you can do is you can just, you know, like if you have them in a binder, you have them spiral bound. So the one thing I would suggest is next time you print the Errata, put it in a binder, because that's a complete living document and it's going to keep changing with every codex that comes out.
Yeah, the guys at Staples hate me because when stuff comes out like that, I make them unspiral bound it and put it back in order.
I didn't even know they'd do that.
they're not happy about it, but that's what they get paid for.
Oh, they're going to hate me too then.
it's definitely worth it, though. I mean, I've been...
Oh, no doubt. It makes it really nice.
And I've been spiral bounding my actual codices and stuff, too, and it's been a lot. It's been really good. And I did that with my Space Wolf and my Blood Angels codexes.
Yeah, make them lay flat on the table. You can fold them in half.
Yep, and I combined them together, too.
Oh, awesome.
I told myself, I am not going outside of these two Space Marine codexes.
There you go.
I was like, but as you mentioned it, Dark Eldar coming out, and my title for my last show was Xenos Defecting Whore. And that would
well, those models are gorgeous. I sold my Dark Eldar army last year because I knew they were coming this year.
Oh, my God. I thought the old model for Lilith was beautiful, but this new one, I was just like, I was so hoping that was a regular witch.
I keep hearing a lot of people say that, and I thought the old model for Lilith was crap. I hated it. And this new model, I am so in love with this new model.
Well,
I mean, a model that's anatomically correct, you know, got good-sized hands, the proportions are nice. It's awesome.
What I like is that she's got the crazed killer look, and she's barefoot. Nothing spells out crazy than a chick running around on a battlefield with no shoes on.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's the old one was nice if you compare it with the old metal witches.
Sure, yeah, it wasn't bad compared to the witches. I just wasn't a fan of the model. In fact, most of the Dark Eldar, even though I had an army, they just didn't inspire me.
And this is what I'm hoping this new one will do. The only thing I'm torn on the pictures I've seen so far is the pirate ship Raiders. With sales and stuff? I don't know. We'll see where that goes.
I like them, but you could easily take the sails off and model them to look like skips from Star Wars.
Yeah, true.
And that would be cool, too.
Have a Jabba Dark Elder.
Yeah, totally. So it will be kind of a living rule book, you know, kind of in the concept of what they had originally done with the specialist games. This will be evolving. The rules themselves probably won't change unless we decide that, you know, that something isn't working.
Okay.
But come November, November, December, when we put out the final basic Killzone rules, I wouldn't expect them to change, you know, very often, or at the very soonest until, you know, sixth edition.
Yeah, I was just thinking that in my mind.
Now, what may change, what may be really flowing, is the advanced rules. We may decide to add or subtract things out of there constantly.
Okay. You know?
Because it's themed stuff, so it's not all about, you know, balance. You know, when we get to the advanced rules, we're going to have some scenarios that are going to be unbalanced. You know, one side will probably be fighting, you know, where with a one-team special operations group fighting against a two-team group. You know, there may be those, you know, there are going to be those kinds of options in the advanced rules.
Excellent. Kind of like, what movie was it? No, The Expendables.
Yeah, fighting against the odds, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, in building your list, you have a whole bunch of like little requirements that you cannot have or and stuff like that. They seem pretty fair and balanced. But what I think is nice after that, you have what's called I brought it up a few minutes ago, was the theme team. The three different themes that you can have in a Killzone mission, and what inspired that outside of, because that's something new that I haven't seen before, especially since the old, I mean, it wasn't even in the fourth edition Kill Teams.
Right. Well, we were just trying to allow people a little bit of latitude, you know. As I said, originally, the game started off as a, you know, very theme-heavy, thematic, you know, narrative-type game. And, you know, what's not, you know, thematic about a whole, you know, squad of Terminators coming in to, you know, do a special mission? Or, you know,
that's scary.
You know, fast-moving bikes or, you know, things like that. So that was the whole idea behind the theme, was to open up team building.
Okay.
You know, allow people to, you know, build a team to a theme. You know, I have this idea, I want to run a lot of Terminators. But what we did was we made it not a lot of points. We just made it to where you gave up other options in your list. Your list has to consist of 75% of the points spent on models in the theme category. So, you know, 75% of your points have to be spent for Armored Might, have to be spent on 2+ armor saves.
Okay.
Whether they be Terminators or, you know, something like that. We didn't want to charge a ton for it and then just, you know, leave it open to min-maxing and things like that. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to, you know, have a quasi-balanced, fun, fast-playing system where you can get lots of games in an evening.
Okay. Now, on the theme teams cost 10 points. Is that for the team or per model?
That's for the team.
Excellent.
And when determining mission points, victory points, at the end of a game, that 10 points goes on your team leader.
Okay.
That's actually errated on the Killzone forums. It will go into the next version of the rules going up in November.
Excellent. They will hate me.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We have a specialized team member chart. Like I said, this is a remnant of Necromunda, where you can actually boost your characters up in a game.
Yes. Very much so.
Now, reading the specialized team member, this is a before the game buy?
Yes, this is a before the game buy. Now, in the campaign system, you don't have access to this. This here, these are actually your skill upgrades as your characters progress in the campaign. But we wanted to open something up to give some flavor to those one-off games. Those, let's just get together and play a game of Killzone tonight. So, you know, this way you have the option of having specialists, you know, whereas in a campaign, you'll get specialists as your characters advance through their experience.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, I was wondering that. I figured it was coming.
Yeah, it is coming. It is coming. It just fell through. We had so many little things we needed to, you know, smooth out so we could get the initial beta release out. It was just one of the things that fell to the wayside. Because the first thing we want to do is we want to make sure these rules are solid for when we take them to Adepticon.
Okay.
You know, so the campaign rules weren't as important for the Adepticon event.
Yeah, and speaking of what, I have to mention, whoever took the pictures and did all the basically artwork for your PDF did a really nice job.
Yeah, they're all pictures submitted by all the guys on the rules committee. Like at the very end here under the specialists.
Okay.
Those are my Chaos Marines, some of my Chaos Marines on the Rocky Woods.
Oh, this is who we have to look out for.
Yeah. So, you know, all of the artwork, it was all manipulated by Caritas, and he did a great job. You know, he really did a great job taking the pictures we submitted and making them look groovy. You know, he really did a good job with the Photoshop.
Great. So, the style of play is basically, it is just 5th edition Warhammer 40K, correct?
For the most part, yeah. As little changes as possible for this, you know, this basic set of rules. What we did change is we simplified movements, and you know, we added a few new shooting phase rules.
Okay.
Like, we brought back the dreaded Overwatch from second edition.
Woohoo!
But in a very, very limited fashion. You know, there are only certain weapons that are appropriate to go in Overwatch. We didn't think outside of sniper rifles, single shot weapons should be, you know, covering an area and, you know, effectively shooting.
Yeah, so, true.
You know, we didn't want to turn your missile launcher dudes into total snipers that could kill anything. Which we had in some early playtests. Everybody immediately saw that one and went, ooh, missile launchers.
Well, unfortunately, you're talking about the crazy snipers. You do allow a Vindicar assassin.
Yes, you do, but do you realize how much he costs?
Yes, I do.
You're not going to have much else in your team, so you better protect the heck out of him.
Do you need anything else?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. You know, the games are played on a small table.
Yep.
He could get caught.
Yes, he could.
In fact, I caught one last week. And he did not like a power weapon to the face.
Did you string him up on the banner?
I should have. No, the wolves just chopped into pieces.
Gotcha. Now, looking through your errata section, I'm actually on the first army, the Blood Angels.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull up the errata so we can kind of go through this together.
Okay.
You're looking at the Blood Angels.
Yep.
And dreaded Blood Angels are only cursed because of alphabetizing.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I could say, no, you like them.
No. Actually, they're actually the one Space Marine army I've never even dabbled in.
You know, up until this release, recent Codex with the... I'll be honest with you, the Sanguinary Guard sold it to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I'll be using the Nipple armor in my Chaos army.
my goal for a 1750 Blood Angel army is nothing but Sanguinary Guard, Storm Ravens, cool. And Dante.
Oh, very cool.
And it was just, all right. Yeah.
So looking at the errata, yep. What were you going to
okay.
bring up?
All right, we're going through, and the rule changes are pretty straightforward, and the special weapons are straightforward. Now, if you can explain just in general for the available army list, so people who are thinking about this or listening to the podcast can say,
right.
You know, I can go ahead and do an army from this. And
oh, sure.
You know, I won't lose, you know, maybe some of my favorite models I like to play with or whatever.
Oh, yeah, totally. The great thing about what we did with the major change in army building from kill teams to kill zone is that you purchase models individually. So you purchase individual models from your troops, stats, and jet pack, and heavy support selections. And in the errata, we list out what models in each of those categories are available.
Okay.
So so that's laid out for you. So you'll know that, you know, you can't, you know, there are no tanks in Killzone. So, you know, for the Blood Angels heavy support, you know, you're talking about, you know, a couple of Devastators. You know, that's what you can take out of the heavy support. So what we did was you pick individual models and you can mix and match, so you don't have to take a squad. You can take a Sanguinary Guard. Now, granted, he's got that 2+ armor save and a jump pack.
Yep.
So he takes 2 hits off of your normal restrictions. But then you can take, you know, a couple of Assault Marines without jump packs, maybe a couple of Scouts with sniper rifles. You could take a Devastator, you could take a Stern Guard. I mean, you could build your list however you see fit, as long as it falls within these criteria.
Okay, so...
In a normal list, you can have up to, without a theme, up to 2 models with a 2+ armor save.
Okay.
Up to 2 models with a 3+ invulnerable save. You may have up to two models with jump packs or jet packs. Two models that may move as jump infantry. You may have two... you may have a total of two heavy weapons in your team with the heavy trait that are an upgrade weapon. So, like a Devastator, that's an upgrade weapon. The basic Devastator comes with a bolter. He trades that off for the missile launcher or heavy bolter. It's an actual upgrade. So, like a Sniper, even though Sniper weapons are an upgrade, they're an upgrade that every model in the squad may take. Those are the upgrades that don't count towards your limit.
Okay.
So you could take a team of all sniper rifles. Would it be good? Maybe. I don't know. I've had a lot of people say, well, a whole sniper team would be, really vicious. Well, I've tried it, and I found it to be lackluster, personally.
Yeah.
Now, they just don't have enough oomph, enough punch.
Yeah, exactly. Now, looking at the available army list, let's go down to scouts.
Okay.
Now, it just has scouts. So I could, have 9 scouts.
Yes.
And then the 0-1 scout sergeant is...
Yes. Yes. Each one of the squad leaders, you may have one of each squad leader type in the army.
Okay. Do you have to take the squad to have the sergeant?
Yes, you have to take at least one member of the squad type to take the sergeant upgrade or the unit leader upgrade.
Okay, that wasn't my question. I'm not trying to break your rules.
Yes. No, not at all. Oh, it came up. It came up in the initial discussions of the rules committee. Oh, dude, I'm going to make a whole list of all tax sergeants, all with power swords and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you can't do that. Didn't realize it was a hole, but I do now, and I just plugged it.
Now, I noticed there's been quite extensive amount of work to the different army lists that come up, but none so much as, the Imperial Guard's got quite a few adjustments to it, but the Witch Hunters, you actually use faith points in this too?
Yes, we have a modified faith point system in the Witch Hunters FAQ, or errata. It was the only way to make it work because they rely on bodies and you're not going to have many bodies here. And so we just figured, in fact, AJ went through and did that list for me because I just was at a loss for what to do with it. Because I don't play, Witch Hunters. So
okay.
It was, I know what they do in a regular game, but I was at a loss for what should they do on this small scale. I mean, you don't want to take it away from them because it just wouldn't, they wouldn't, I don't think the armor would play quite right.
Oh, you could take it away from them.
but AJ found, I think, a rather balanced way of making them work.
Excellent. Now, what is it? I noticed that the Demon Hunters, they don't have a lot of their special rules that they take up, or do they still have those? Like the Aegis armor and stuff.
Oh, they still have the Aegis armor.
Okay, just not repeating.
Yeah. Anything that isn't listed as a change isn't changed.
Excellent, man. What the great thing about this is, I never really want to do chaos. Sorry, but I have some orcs from the Black Reach box set, and I collect. I'm a pack rat for Warhammer. That's all there is to it.
I have 22 years worth of Warhammer stuff.
Yeah.
Trust me, I have models going back to 87. So
and
yeah.
Someone donated Eldar models to me, it's just to give away. I was just like, what the heck? So it's just like, I don't know, maybe I'll give those away for someone who wants to do a kill team. I mean, yeah, but what's nice about this is you can, if you wanted to try an army like Imperial Fist, but you're thinking yellow is too much to paint, but you wouldn't mind having a small squad of them. I mean, this is a perfect...
Yeah,
this
yeah, is 9-10 models. It's perfect for trying out an army.
Yeah,
it's perfect for, wow, I really like those models, but I don't want to build a new army.
Exactly. And with all the small skirmish games going out there, I believe War Machines is a smaller skirmish game, Malifaux.
Sure.
This keeps up. This brings Warhammer 40K into a running of that type of gamer that just likes to do the small games, the small board. You know, not a, I don't want to have all these, I don't want to go up against tanks and stuff. And this is perfect compilation to that, the gamer who just wants to have fun.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's why there was, I was shocked at such the positive reaction I got immediately. I mean, I'm not, I do a lot of, house rules and fan projects and, all kinds of stuff like that on my blog. And this, by far, has been the most openly accepted right away. I mean, it's just blown me away. It's just blown me away. People so wanted this to, this to work. They want, they're starving for a skirmish system for 40K.
Yep, and this gives you, we'll bring Necromunda up again. There's so many people that play 40K don't want to go in and buy, they don't want to go and buy a gang. They want to be able to play their Eldar or their Space Marines that they already have and develop this into their own type of strategy.
Right.
And this offers something that Necromunda never has done in the past. And you're keeping up on the erratas and the rules and everything. Everything's fleshed out, and no one has to worry about it being too overbalanced and such.
Right, right. And, that's the thing, It's kind of like Necromunda massaged out and brought current. It kind of gives you that current feel. There aren't so many things that might confuse the current, the current 40K players.
Yeah.
Whereas the old school guys, like me, I can pick up Necromunda and, I can play it, tomorrow within 5 minutes, remember all the rules.
Yeah, same here. And, it's a good game, but it definitely does use second edition Warhammer combat style into it.
Yeah, in fact, I think that was the only thing I didn't like about second edition was the radical change to the close combat system.
Yeah, it was.
It did make for some epic fights. I'll give it that.
That it
but
did.
I just don't think it worked.
What was your first 40K army?
Space Wolves.
Space Wolves, mine too.
Yeah, back in the 80s, it was hard a lot of times to get, GW stuff here in the States. And when I had the White Dwarf, I saw Rogue Trader was coming, and I had pre-ordered it at the local game shop. The Rogue Trader book and the box, the RTB-001, the original plastic BQ Space Marines. And the Space Marines came in before the rule book on pre-order. For some reason, they just didn't send enough copies to the U.S. So I got my BQs, and when I got home, I thought, well, this is sci-fi. And, back then I was thinking more hard sci-fi. And, you watch a lot of sci-fi movies back then. Troopers were wearing gray armor.
Oh, yeah.
Things like that. So what I did was I kind of went with a gray. And then I got the rule book, and I've always been a big, big fan of wolves in general, the actual animal. So I had these gray marines, and here are these gray marines with this wolf head icon. I was sold.
It's easy to be sold, I think, on the look of Space Wolves in general.
Right. Well, remember, back then they weren't Vikings. There was another Viking stuff floating around, so I was playing them before they were cool.
I was playing them before they were cool. I was
very cool.
Second edition, and I actually had the Lehman somewhere. I would say I had, but I still have the Lehman Russ model floating around my house somewhere.
Yeah, with Frecky and Jerry. Yeah, I have both there.
Yeah, he's a very small Lehman Russ.
he was Rogue Trader era, so he was a 25 millimeter model is what he was.
Yeah, I will call him Mini Russ.
Yeah, there you go.
So
my first army was Space Wolves. My second real foray into an actual army was Chaos, with the Realms of Chaos books.
Okay.
Way, way back when. I want to say 89.
Yeah.
So, I liked the idea of, bad Marines. I thought that was totally cool. So I was sold, and The minis were kind of groovy back then, very chaotic and look, you know, and look, their armor and stuff. But I do appreciate the newer ones that look like, you know, big evil dudes. I just wish they'd find a way to convey evil without it being everything horned and spiked.
Yeah, the one thing I wish they redo is the Noise Marines. I like the heavy metal guys.
Oh, I love those. I have 5 or 6 of those laying around.
Yeah, they were really nice. I got rid of mine I painted them up. They were one of the first 40K models I painted, and I just had to have them.
Yeah, very cool models.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you know, electric guitar on one, on a couple of them, you know, Mohawks. And.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I actually have one painted in Space Wolf colors.
Now, do you play Warhammer Fantasy at all?
Yes, I started with Warhammer Fantasy back in first edition in the early 80s.
Okay.
That was my gateway into Games Workshop and Citadel. I took 7th edition of Warhammer completely off. But, you know, hey, after 20 years of Warhammer, I needed a break.
That is definitely true.
Well, because, you know, I'm going to be honest about this. They've changed Warhammer so much that to me it wasn't Warhammer anymore. You know, this whole game of nothing but static combat resolution was really irritating to me.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it became in 6th edition. And I played through 6th edition. I had fun. But I just got bored with it by the time 7th came along. And they brought back enough of the old things, like the old way you build armies and all the rest with 8th. I've played a few games of 8th and I'm enjoying it a lot.
It is definitely fun. I heard a lot of people saying that it loses its tactics, but I used to love this one game called Clan War. I don't know if you ever heard about it.
That's the samurai one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it represented, you know, just like in the movies, when you're fighting and you have your two groups running at each other, and then they intertwine, you know, then you have your whole little individual battles with inside the squad thing. It represented that on the battlefield, and I love that. And I never did get it for especially 6th and 7th edition Warhammer, why that didn't incorporate more of your troops. And it got really bummed out. I went to a tournament, and it was when the Vampire book came out, and I guess when the playtesters were there. It was just like, oh, well, you have this many ghouls, you have this as a skeleton, this is that, you're going to automatically win by 4. You know, it's just like, play the damn game, guy. I mean, it's just like,
right.
Why are you even here?
That's what I'm saying, you know. It just, you know, I didn't like the static combat resolution game. Now, granted, saying that, it's still there, but there's enough dynamics that have changed in the game, you can affect it more than you could before.
Oh, yeah. The reason I bring up the fantasy is, have you thought about doing a fantasy version of your Killzone?
Maybe. I have one project after Killzone that I'm going to do, then maybe after that. So maybe late next year, this time next year.
Okay.
I might tackle fantasy. I have a real hankering to shake up the world of Combat Patrol.
Okay. That would be great, because Combat Patrol is a very fun...
It is, but I think it can be enhanced. But, you know, that's just me.
I like to tell you that I've been enjoying the Killzone reads and checking out your blog and thinking about building my own Killzones. And I've had the idea of running some Cadians in the Space Hawk game.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, AJ says just play Killzones and Space Hawk, but I was like, no, I will keep this a board game.
Okay.
So I was thinking to myself, you know, this has really inspired me to flesh out the rules for using basically what I would consider like the movie Aliens.
Right.
In Space Hawk, I even have a loading Sentinel that I painted up yellow and put a female inside.
Oh, very cool.
Ripley. So, I mean, I'd like to say thank you, because you've given me that drive to actually complete something that I've always, you know, I let things linger in the back of my head and I drop them. I might remember them like 13 years later or something. But this one, I might actually see through and post it on my site, and I'd like to say thank you for that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You know, that's all that I've ever tried to do with my blog is inspire people to think outside of the box of officialdom that has been oddly created by the fans of, you know, Games Workshop. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's you know, that a lot of people are playing in tournaments or what, but people really just have gotten to where, you know, if it's not official, they just don't like it. And cracks me up because so many people, you know, will use these big erratas, you know, done by these committees. And basically, you know, a lot of that stuff's house rule.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I try to explain that to them, and they just don't get it, you know. You know, I'm glad I could inspire you. That's all I try to do on my blog. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I just have these ideas, and I'm gonna put them out there. And people like them, great. If they don't, no skin off my nose. I put it out there. You know.
Yep. And I think that's what people need to see is that if you got an idea such as, you know, kill zones or any type of fan based army rule that you can make up, you don't have to stick to the steadfast rule of Games Workshop where they say, you know, this is the only way you can play such and such and such. People are looking for different ways to enjoy the hobby that they love so much.
Right, right.
And definitely Killzone is something that Games Workshop started in 4th edition that could have went phenomenally well, but they dropped it.
Could have been huge.
Yep.
Could have been huge.
Then,
and you know what? To be completely honest with you, I don't care if they rip off the idea for Killzone and make a brand new kill team separate skirmish system, I don't care. As long as more people are playing skirmish games, I think that would be awesome.
Yep.
The desire is out there. I'm not doing this to make money or make a name for myself. I'm doing it because it's something that I enjoy. And I know other gamers enjoy it too. So, you know, it's all about that. So if GW wants to borrow and use things, hey, more power to you. Go to it. Make us a game that is awesome.
Exactly. I thought we were going to get it in the battle missions. Mine came.
I did too. I was looking forward to that, and when it was by squads, to me it was just really lackluster. And I think they could have done more than just have three guys pick a universal special role.
Yeah.
I think they could have gotten a little more, you know, inventive than that.
I don't know what their deal was for it. They just wanted to release this special mission book because their development team was doing the Warhammer fantasy.
Right.
And with all the scenarios and stuff they had there, I think they just wanted to keep people in interest for 40K because, like you said, we are looking forward, I think it's the next year and a half of the 6th edition 40K.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be coming in the next year or two at the latest. No, I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if they sprung it on us sooner than that. I mean, like the month after they released the last Codex update.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely, we've been hearing the Eldar are on their way, and no one's given us a definitive answer than, oh, the Dark Eldar. Then all of a sudden, here they are in our face. So, yeah, I wouldn't doubt anything such as that either.
And GW has plugged their leaks really well. There's no more leaking of information. So the rumors, we're only going to get rumors, you know, a month or two out now.
Yeah.
You know, we had whispers that maybe, but nothing was definite until about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, that's why my one segment's called Whispers from the Warp. You don't know if they're true.
Yeah, you know, so GW's gotten good at plugging those gaps, and that's good for them, you know. And on the Battle Missions book, I enjoyed the Battle Missions book. But you see, you also have to remember, the key thing for me is scenario-driven play, and I think those are great scenario games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for each one, you know, doing them each for each one of the races and stuff. I think they're great scenario games. Are they perfect? Not by any means. But, you know, I think they're a lot of fun to play. Little tweaks, all those missions could be awesome.
Oh, yeah. What do you think of their release of the Spearhead rule?
I love Spearhead. You know, for everybody that talks crap about Spearhead, I'm just going to tell them to stop being idiots.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit, even though
I enjoyed the idea of tank battles, number one. But what I enjoy even more is the fact of the loosening up of moving and shooting and fielding tanks and squadrons. Oh, yeah. I like the idea. I love the concept.
And then with their tank hunter, I mean, not their squadron rules, actually giving you a little bit of character to a squadron.
Yeah, I love it. I love every bit of it, you know. And there are a lot of people that don't like it, and that's their choice, but I think they're missing out.
Yep.
You know, all these people that poo-poo all these supplements go, oh, they're crap. Well, you know, I don't think they're crap. I've enjoyed everything. Even as much as, you know, I love my friends at DLT, I've enjoyed Planet Strike a lot.
I've not gotten a game of that in yet. I did order my Stronghold because that's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And
right, right.
I haven't yet bought a $100 item in a while, so and there we go.
You know, great models, you know. I don't think it was just a supplement to sell models, personally. I think it was a supplement they meant, you know, for people to have fun with. And I've had a blast with it. They work, you know, they've worked great in some of our campaign games. And, you know, I think that's what they're great for. I think too many people are focused on tournaments.
Yeah.
At least the vocal ones on the internet are focused on tournaments. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not bashing tournament players. I'm just saying people need to take their head out of the box and play different games.
They need to have fun.
Yes.
Yes, I've done so many tournaments, and you name it, from Warhammer Fantasy Battles to 40K, Gothic, Necromunda, Magic the Gathering. I've even did a tournament of Chaos in the Old World. That was weird. But people... All these are fun games. All these are things that, you know, you love to play. But when you step in that room, there's a tension and the air, you know, the air in there is so tense. It's just, you've lost all fun. It doesn't become a fun game. It becomes a pissing match.
Right.
And
well, you know, I often joke that when I go to tournaments, I take a casual list. I take a list I would take any other day of the week when I go play a game. Because I don't care. I'm going to have a good time. People go, well, then you're not being fair to your opponent. Why? I'm not laying down and letting him win.
Yep.
I'm going to play a game. And occasionally with my non-competitive list, I beat a competitive list. It happens.
Yep. I went to a Warhammer tournament in Flint, Michigan, about a year ago, and I took a very casual list that I love min-maxing my my units. I don't care about power. I play Undead, for Christ's sake.
Right.
And it's all about the Legion. And I took something very soft, and everyone thought they were going to walk over me. And I just wanted to have fun, and I ended up taking first, and no one knew what to say about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Yep, and the thing is, my one rule is you got to have fun playing these games, and when picking armies and stuff, pick something you like to – you're going to take pride in playing and painting.
Yeah, you know, the last tournament I went to, I took my Chaos Army, and I took Possessed. Oh, my – gosh, people were freaking out. Possessed? You took Possessed Space Marines? Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? They did pretty good. And I didn't roll power weapons once, you know? I mean, you just got to have fun with this game. If you're not having fun, if you're agonizing over the game, you're not doing it right.
Yep.
You know, I have been wargaming for 34 years. You know, if you're not having fun, it's not worth it.
Yep, and that is 100% true, and that leads me to my tagline. If you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
I agree with you. I concur wholeheartedly.
And it's just saying that's what it is. Is, you know, I've bought video games in the past, didn't have fun, sold it. I'm not gonna go off about it and go nuts. But 40K and fantasy and all these different miniature games, I never thought I'd enjoy playing them as much as I do. I didn't know that I could paint them. Either as it's actually developed a talent that's been within me that I never knew I had.
Right, you know, all it takes is practice, you know.
Yeah, and it's fun, and actually found out it's a pretty good hobby. The hobby aspect's been really nice. If for people who have degenerative diseases and such, I have MS myself. And as long as I stay cool in the summertime, I can sit there in my air-conditioned room with my iPod going and just paint all day.
Very cool.
And it's, you know, and I think it's a hobby that gives. And it's nice, to, you know, and we'll probably call it quits because we're looking at hour, but it's nice to see people like you, Big Jim, that give back.
Yeah, you know, anything I can do.
Excellent.
You know, if somebody has an idea for something crazy that, you know, they think I might like to do, send me an email. You know, you can get me through my profile on my blog. Send me an email. We can talk. You know, you have something you want to do and you want a little help or feedback, send me an email.
Okay. And
I'm more than open to helping anybody or offering up, you know, ideas.
And what's your website again?
My website is galaxyinflames.blogspot.com.
And what should everyone be doing this Sunday?
Playing Killzone. Woo!
That is exactly it.
Or just blogging or painting or modeling, whatever. Just share your experiences with Killzone with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to the fact you can even download the PDF, read through it, and blog back your opinion on it, I believe, too, can't you?
Yeah, totally, yeah. Anything Killzone related. You know, say, hey, I really like this game. I've played it, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool. Anything. We just want to make sure that people know it's out here.
Excellent. And you heard that, fans? Go ahead and flood the airwaves with Killzone this Sunday. And let's help Big Jim make a big success out of this, actually. And as you heard, he's going to be at Adepticon this year for anyone. Well, possibly going to be at Adepticon, but Killzones will be. So anyone looking forward to it, if you like it, make sure you sign yourself up for that event, too, because things do fill up fast at Adepticon, so I hear.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too.
Yeah, I was going to do Combat Patrol and the team challenge, and I told him, well, you might as well just, you know, it's November, you might as well just forget it.
yeah, well, you know, it does fill up fast. A lot of people travel, you know, it's a big convention, a lot of people go, a lot of people just go to play in the, you know, the easier events, like the Combat Patrol, just so they can get around and look at the things. They have some open gaming. They have, you know, special run events like, you know, like the Kill Zone and other things that, you know, people can just, you know, participate in all otherwise too. So there's lots to do there. Yeah. I've never been, but, you know, I've talked to enough people that have. I'm going to meet all my podcasting friends and, you know, my blogging friends. And, you know, for me, it's just going to be a great fun time to go meet people.
Excellent. I'd like to thank you again for taking the time to do this interview today, Jim.
Oh, no problem, Sean. Anytime.
Oh, excellent. And we'll be hearing from you soon, and most likely I'll be posting stuff on Sunday.
Very cool. Remember to email me the link, and I'll post it up.
Definitely. And I'll make sure that you link to your blog spot and is on mine as well. I know there's a link on Sean Hammer off to the right. You'll see the little burning Chaos Space Marine for Galaxy of Flames. I stole that off your site.
Yeah, nope, that's what it's there for.
Okay. But I was just like, oh, cool. I finally got around to actually adjusting my site. And believe it or not, I have a degree in this, but I've dropped it over the last couple of years. So it's been having to learn it all over again.
No doubt.
Well, I'd like to say thank you, and we'll hear from you soon, Jim.
Very cool. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
I'm Dan Abnett, and remember, fanatics, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
Let chaos and quiet on successfully erased.